Like, Design Within Reach only does Herman Miller, basically, which is just like some kid rolled Play-Doh and then they made it into a furniture shape.
Design Within Reach makes their furniture so low to the floor that I have to like stop, drop and roll to get up and off their furniture.
I can't. I am too tall. Every time I get out of like a low chair, it's like being birthed for a second time.
Hello, world. I am here.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Oh, hey, it's a Lucy Goosey bonus episode of an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson.
I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And the person who lived here before me still gets a lot of home decor magazines.
Ooh.
And I enjoy looking at them. And so I'm going through one of them right now. And I can't afford any of it. And it's all really ugly.
You know, Bethany, I have a bee in my bonnet about things that are expensive that I'm really worked up about.
What's that?
I like made a short list.
You wrote it down?
I was on the phone with my best friend yesterday and she's like, her brother is kind of like an over the top. He's so nice, but he's like, you know, oh, everybody knows someone who's over the top. Like, let's go to Napa and rent a limo or let's go to Miami for my bachelor party.
Oh, God, no. I would rather do anything for your bachelor party. I would rather do anything.
I'm going to get a new cooler and it's not just going to be a regular Coleman. It's going to be a $3,000 Yeti.
And by the way, I love Miami. I just don't want to party. I can't party. I can't hang.
I know.
Miami is like such a beautiful party place and I am not hangable.
So she says, she's like, ugh, can I tell you, I got my vents cleaned in my house.
Sexy.
And it cost $600.
That's so expensive.
I'm like, all they do is reach an extra long Swiffer duster into your vents and you know, wipe it around. And then she goes, ugh, my brother is getting a backyard oasis. Guess how much it's costing? And before I could even guess, she's like $80,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Bethany, it's like if you build a backyard outside, you know, beautiful stone and landscaping, and then you do like, you know, you have the outdoor fridge and the outdoor, you know, like stove, and then you have a TV. Why does it cost more than it would to just redo a room in your house?
Because everything has to be weatherproof.
Yeah, I guess.
And also, like, no one needs a backyard oasis, and so they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah.
It's and by the way, it had better be an oasis.
Oh, well, Bethany, that doesn't even count the pool, which is another $15,000 on top of that.
It's unbelievable.
Listen, people can spend their money on whatever they want to spend it on. I don't want to money shame anybody, but I just don't understand the appeal of watching television outside.
No, because you're unprotected from the elements. I was looking at, okay, so I check Page Six every day because I just like to see if people in my neighborhood are getting in trouble because it's like it's such a New York-centric site. And they were showing Chris D'Elia's house because, you know, he's been disgraced and now he has to sell one of his homes. And a big part of it was the outdoor full barbecue, full bar, full like huge TV.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what happens? Like, I know it never rains in LA, but what happens when it rains?
Okay.
Like, your TV gets hit, but apparently it just, that's the good thing about living in a drought state.
The only thing that I understand about having an outdoor television is during pandemic times, which is once every 100 years. So
yeah.
I guess I understand also when people have it during football season and the weather's still nice. But like, I'm not going to go outside and be like, hey, let's see what's on Bravo tonight. You want to watch with me, mosquitoes?
Yeah. I mean, like, look, could I if I could? Sure.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the thing I understand the least. Mm-hmm. There are so many things about what people put outside that I just don't understand.
I know.
Like when people have their own pizza ovens.
Oh, no. See, I get that. I think that's cool.
How much pizza are you making?
Sometimes, Bethany, people eat a lot of pizza. If I had a pizza oven, I would make pizza all the time.
when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime, Kathleen.
Sometimes when I'm feeling down, I go to WilliamSonoma.com and I fill my cart with as much stuff as I possibly can get. And they've got some really high-end outdoor pizza ovens that cost in the thousands of dollars. And
oh, you can buy them pre-made? Yeah. I thought you had to have like a mason come and mold them into some sort of dome shape.
No, you can do that. And actually, Neil's aunt and uncle, they did that themselves because they live in the Hudson Valley of New York. So, you know, like people up there are crafty and into doing things like that. They're retired hippies. And
everyone knows how to work mortar.
But yeah, you can buy them and you just put it like on a stone table and then you can move it indoors during the winter. And I think that's the better option.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone has room for a pizza oven in their house. I don't know why I'm so salty about pizza ovens.
Bethany.
I love pizza.
I am salty about everything that's expensive that shouldn't be. Like, here I present to you Exhibit A, Siggy's yogurt.
Yeah, delicious.
But why is it like $1.50 a yogurt? What gives them the right?
I know, but you know what? There's something about it. I just had to get a different kind of, like an almond yogurt. Mm-hmm. And it's like more fermented. And it takes longer to make. And it was like $2.50 for a tiny thing. But I had to get it because the stupid low FODMAP diet. And like, it's tough.
Yeah.
And it's like a bubbly to eat, which was also strange. But it's expensive. Stuff is expensive.
I have never met an almond yogurt that I didn't hate. I just haven't. They're so gross, all of them.
And I love an almond milk, but man, I don't love an almond yogurt.
Coconut yogurt is palatable sometimes, but almond yogurt? Oh my God.
You know, that coconut yogurt I struggle with because of the consistency. It's too liquidy.
Oh.
I need a little bit more.
You'd like it thick?
Firmness. I want a thick yogurt, so I have to mix it.
Shades. Shades, Bethany.
What about them? They're expensive.
Ridiculous. They're so stupid. I think you and I should start a company that's the Warby Parker of shades. Every time someone buys a shade from us, we give a shade to a person in need.
And that person in need is you. We have a really loose definition of what in need means. It just means someone who's like cheap.
Maybe like a college student, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like college students need shades too.
Yeah. Our company is well intended, but not great at knowing the real world. And so you see all of these homeless people who have just like shades. And they're like, I just wanted food and a place to stay. And we're like, but we have shades for you.
It's like if you were Vitamix and you're like, let's be generous this Thanksgiving season. And you go down to the homeless shelter and hand out Vitamixes. And it's like, but we don't have a place to plug this in.
You like go to Skid Row. And you're like, we're here to help. And you just hand out Vitamixes. And everyone's like, you're an idiot. So well-intentioned. So stupid.
Yeah.
Kathleen, speaking of Page Six, I was going through it this morning. And I am so disconnected from pop culture that I don't know who the majority of these people are. And they are people who are very famous.
Yeah.
And like good at what they do. But I just don't know who they are.
Oh, this is exciting. I wonder if I know who they are.
Well, that's why I wanted to do a quick quiz. And gentle listener, you can play it at home or, you know, play it with your coworkers as a team building exercise. Mm-hmm. Do you know these Page Six celebrities?
I'm ready.
The first headline was Renee Zellweger is dating Aunt Anstead.
Who?
Do you know who Aunt Anstead is?
Aunt Anstead. No, I have no idea. Is that a lady or a man? Or
it is a man.
Okay. Or non-binary.
Yeah, it's a man. Mm-hmm. Aunt Anstead is apparently an English TV presenter.
No.
Page Six also described him as a reality star.
Too rich for my blood.
Okay. This person, I'm embarrassed to say I don't know who they are because everyone knows who they are. Mm-hmm. But I didn't. Erica Jane.
Is she a famous wrestler?
No. She is a real housewife.
Oh.
I think New York.
I know that it's an unpopular opinion, but I hate reality television.
All of it?
Bethany, there's not one reality show that I like unless it's like a pop culture cult thing, like Love is Blind or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? There's some honkers outside and we're just going to handle it because you know what? Loosey-goosey bonus episode.
Uh-huh.
I have seen a few episodes of Real Housewives of New Jersey back when one of them flipped a table. Like, that's really the extent of my knowledge. And I watched it to watch the table flipping.
Yes.
But I know their names sort of, but I really don't know much about them. And that puts me, I think, in a camp of a few people.
Yesterday, I was listening to the latest episode of What a Day, which is one of my favorite podcasts with Akilah Hughes and Gideon Resnick.
Yeah.
And they were talking about a new reality show where people dress up like dolphins. Wait, reality TV show people and like they wear prosthetic dolphin noses and then they go on dates or something?
Wait, I think I saw something about this. I think it's like they put on masks and they really have to believe like you really are looking for someone's personality. Is it one of those?
Keely Hughes was so funny. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to give a shit about somebody on a reality television show. I don't care about their well-being. I was like, yes, Akilah Hughes, you tell the world what you think about reality television because it's a very unpopular opinion. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
New Netflix show called Sexy Beasts features singles who dress up in elaborate costumes for blind dates.
So it's like The Masked Singer.
Nope. Bethany.
Plus.
No, it's beyond that. Bethany, Google Sexy Beast Netflix and take a look at some of the promo pictures that pop up.
I'm not gonna be happy about this, am I? Hold on a second. My internet goes real slow when we record.
They look like sexy Star Beasts. Trek monsters, complete with like the makeup that covers their décolleté, however you say it, their collarbone. Collarbone.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god, this is disturbing.
Yeah. Elaborate makeup and prosthetics, and they go on a blind date and then they put chemistry to the test. Bethany, I'm watching a promo video of a panda and I don't even know a triceratops.
You know, I wonder if part of what you're vibing off of is like, what is your blind date want? What did they decide to dress up as?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if they got to choose or if the makeup artists were like, we're going to put you as a panda. Because Kathleen, if I'm going on a blind date and I'm dressed as a Pegasus, and my blind date comes out and he has asked to be dressed as a dick and he's just a giant phallus. Like, I'm going to know right away that that's not the guy for me.
Someone is dressed like a scarecrow. Okay. All right. And now they're doing the reveal and the people are actually hot underneath. Oh, my God. Is that Chewbacca and a tiger making out? Oh, my God.
This is where we are in our society.
Okay, I take everything back about reality television. I think this is the one that I can watch. Oh my god, okay. The mouse is so cute.
Also, didn't they, the kind of reality TV I love is like The Floor is Lava.
Yes.
Wipeout. Didn't they have to, there was a slip and slide reality show that they were filming that they had to push back the release date of because everyone got explosive diarrhea on the set.
What? From what? Oh my god. Oh my god. That's amazing. I love team building exercises that include diarrhea.
If you're going to the right retreat, it's definitely going to happen.
Bethany?
Yes, Kathleen?
As the world becomes increasingly uncomfortable, you know, we're all looking for as much comfort as we can get.
Yes.
Like when I'm eating a mango and then one of the mango threads gets stuck in my teeth, I'm like, ah!
Yes.
So uncomfortable.
Or now that we can go around and not wear masks outside and then you realize that there's been something in your teeth the whole time or, mm-hmm. you know, your nose has been running and no one told you. It's awful. Mm-hmm.
My mask, I loved it when it covered my chin acne. Anyway, let's get to the point of this commercial.
The point is,
we love Purple Mattress.
Yeah, the point is, the one thing you can always count on is how comfortable your Purple Mattress is to fall into at the end of a long and uncomfortable day.
Only Purple has the grid. And the grid is this amazing stretchy gel material that is supportive for your back and your legs, and it cushions your shoulders and your hips. I don't know how it does it, but it's fantastic.
And because of the way that it's designed, the grid doesn't trap air actually is able to circulate and flow throughout it, so you don't overheat. It keeps you much cooler at night.
And unlike memory foam, which has this habit of remembering everything, the grid doesn't create craters and divots.
We got a sample of the Purple grid. It's super squishy and spongy and really comfortable. You can definitely see why the grid creates the most comfortable sleep experience possible. And right now you can try your Purple mattress risk-free with free shippings and returns, and financing is available too.
Purple really is comfort for an uncomfortable world. And right now, you'll get 10% off of any order of $200 or more. All you have to do is go to purple.com/taste10 and then use the code TASTE10 at checkout.
That's purple.com/taste10 and then use the promo code TASTE10 for 10% off of any order of $200 or more.
purple.com/taste10, promo code TASTE10, terms apply.
Okay, Kathleen, do you know who the Earl of Dumbarton is or would be?
That is a fictional character.
Nope.
Okay.
Think. The Earl of Dumbarton. It's who are they or who would they have been?
Is Dumbarton just a town where all really stupid people live?
No, but that plays into why a person is not the Earl of Dumbarton.
Earl of Dumbarton. Is it that mean guy from American Idol, whatever it is, Simon something?
No. Okay. It's what Harry and Meghan decided they did not want their son Archie to be. Okay, I gotta go close this window because, hold on, I have to yell at some people on the street. This is insane! Go ahead. Nothing's gonna happen in the
park. It's a Friday. Get your anger out so you step into Saturday in a good mind space.
Knock it off!
I'm just gonna sit here and eat my expensive Siggy's yogurt. Vanilla and cinnamon with the new lower sugar made with the 2% milk fat. Excellent. A great flavor.
New York City. So that's what Meghan and Harry decided they didn't want their kid to be named.
I don't blame them.
Because he would have gotten teased. But then they got teased.
Yeah.
And there it is. Okay, here's a couple more.
Okay.
Sam Asghari. Do you know who Sam Asghari is?
I'm so out of it, I guess. I have no idea who any of these people are.
This is the only one I knew already.
Okay.
Because I like him.
Okay.
This is Britney Spears' boyfriend. They've been together forever. Yeah. He seems like a nicey.
Yeah.
So I like him a lot.
Speaking of Britney, I am legitimately so upset for what that poor woman has been through.
Yeah. She posted about it on Instagram today or yesterday.
I mean,
she was like, yeah, I've been pretending to be okay, but I'm definitely not.
The lithium and the IUD and just having no control over your own life.
Yeah.
No wonder she's posting those batshit crazy videos on her Instagram all the time where she's dancing in little tiny Abercrombie shorts. It's insane.
Yeah, of course. What else are you going to do when you're literally not allowed to do anything?
Wouldn't you think Kevin Federline would step up? This is the mother of his children. Like, he needs to step up and say something.
I don't know if he has any rights in terms of, like, I don't think he has any rights to say anything. Yeah. I don't think he's given any power.
Okay.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
Cody Rigsby.
Oh, yes. Bethany. Cody Rigsby. Bethany.
I thought you might know this one.
He is my favorite Peloton instructor.
Yep. He apparently just bought a penthouse in Williamsburg.
Of course he did. He is, like, I wish that Cody would get his own show. He is so funny. Sometimes you get on the bike and he's like, okay, Peloton riders, let's fuck shit up.
Is he the one who said, nothing is real, we're living in the Matrix?
Something like that.
Or is that a different one?
He's so funny. He hates Taylor Swift, and he's always like, thou who shall not be named is not on this playlist.
Oh, my God. Good. Well, you got the last one, which was more than I got. Oh. So well done, my dear.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Something uncomfortable.
Do you want me to say something uncomfortable, or do you have something uncomfortable to say?
Something uncomfortable.
Okay, what's going on?
So I started a Poshmark because I'm cleaning out my closets. I talked about that a few episodes ago. By the way, I need to get your Poshmark name. Do you want to shout out your Poshmark where you're selling your stuff?
No, because I might have to change my username. I gave myself a username to make it seem like I'm like 17 years old.
Oh, that's right.
Because I wanted people to be more willing to buy my clothes.
That's right. I forgot. Well,
so I'm going to change my username and then I'm definitely going to give it out.
So I have some gifts that I've been given over the years.
Yeah.
Is it fucked up if I go and sell these gifts on Poshmark?
Not at all.
Okay.
No. So what kind of gifts? Like clothing gifts from whom?
I was former coworkers.
Okay.
And then, so I was like, oh, I'm going to hell. Like, I never even used this. And then I sign onto Poshmark and a former coworker pops up and I'm like, oh, let's see what she's got on her account. And she's selling a gift that I gave her.
What is it? It's not the little box, is it? The little gold box with the glass?
No, it was a necklace. I mean, it's fine. I'm not... Sometimes, you know, when you're mass buying like Christmas gifts for coworkers, you just get one thing and you know it's not everybody's taste, but you just give it to them to give it to them.
Yeah.
It was something like that. It was a necklace. And I'm also selling like a jewelry set that somebody gave me that wasn't quite my cup of tea, but selling people's gifts on Poshmark.
So, okay. So I, too, have received gifts that were not... I just wasn't something that I, and so I save them to re-gift, right? But I always put like a sticky note on it and a rubber band around the sticky note so the sticky note doesn't fall off, saying who I got it from and who I thus cannot re-gift it to.
Gotcha.
So like if we got gifts from people who used to be coworkers, I knew not to like a couple years later accidentally re-gift it to someone else who's a coworker. Like you have to be real careful and organized about it.
Yeah.
And I still have some like I haven't re-gifted because I don't have anyone who has that sense of style, but I don't know who to give it to, but I don't wanna, you know, I'm not gonna throw it away.
Just sell
of course
it on,
not.
Sell it on Poshmark.
Yeah.
So, you know, a bunch of years ago, I bought probably like 20 J. Crew necklaces. They were on sale. And so the necklace each cost me like $7. And I was like, this Christmas season, I am going to just give everybody I know one of these. Well, I ran out of people to give gifts to. And I had like this pile of J. Crew necklaces left over. And so I just started giving it to people like willy-nilly. Like, oh, you want to get a coffee? Here's a necklace. Thinking of you.
Whoa.
But now I can't remember who I've given these necklaces to. And I still have more to give away.
I'll take some of those necklaces. Yeah,
I already gave one to you.
Oh, which one?
It's like a long J. Crew necklace. This is what the coworker was selling. It's like a long J. Crew necklace. It's got like a circle pendant with like little stars on it on the back of it.
Oh, I have that still.
This is my lucky charm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have that still.
If you decide to sell it on your Poshmark, I will not be. I will not be offended. I promise.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes I go through my Poshmark account and I look at what hasn't been bought.
Yeah.
And I'm just like real offended.
I know.
Because I have like beautiful stuff on there that I spent too much money on and it didn't fit me and I couldn't return it. And so I'm like, you guys have no idea how expensive this was and you won't even pay a little bit of money for it. I have a tote, Kathleen, on Poshmark that is $2 and no one will buy it. No one will buy my $2 tote.
I love Poshmark. Some of my favorite items I have gotten off of Poshmark. I think it's a great place for interesting finds, for vintage finds. I mean, like, and if you put on a little weight or you lose weight and you need like, you know, a handful of extra pieces in a pinch at a reasonable price, Poshmark is a great place.
But yeah. And by the way, this isn't an ad.
No.
We just use Poshmark.
No. But also, like, yeah, when I post the things that I love, my feelings get hurt when nobody will pay for it.
So hurt. But then there's those amazing moments because if you are someone who's ever seen something like in a store or something and wish that you could have it and now it's not available anymore and it's like stuck in your mind for years as something that's sort of your white whale of getting.
Yes.
Someone else probably has that in their closet and they don't even realize it. And that happened to me. I had this jacket that I did not wear and it had been in my closet for probably 5 years minimum. And it was like this green bomber style jacket. And on the back, it said, be polite, you fucker. And I bought it when I was like in a little bit saltier of a mood, but now I wouldn't wear it. I posted it on Poshmark. And I think the same day a woman reached out and she was like, I've been looking for this jacket for years.
No way.
And so I sent it to her and, you know, it was amazing, but it made me really happy because I've been that person too who's looking for this thing that they can't find.
Yeah. The reverse thing happened to me. My college roommate had this amazing Gap dress. We went to Europe one summer, our junior year, for almost the whole summer. And she wore this Gap blue baby doll Gap dress the whole summer. And I was like, man, I wish I had that dress. 10 years later, Bethany, I went on Poshmark. I found it in my size and I bought it. It wasn't even like a designer item. It was just Gap, you know?
Yeah. It's like, it's like those things. And I don't know. That's what makes things like Poshmark and eBay and all of that stuff really fun.
Yeah.
Is it's like a little bit of a treasure hunt still. Even though everything is so available, when stuff has been discontinued, things like that, it's really fun. Like, I talked at the very beginning of this podcast, like, ever, about this sweater I had seen at Target that is no longer made. And a couple of taste buds have found it on Poshmark, not in the right size. And I think it's, like, sold out. But they found it. And it's this, like, gray sweater. Has a ballerina on it. And I'm still looking for that in my size because – I didn't buy it at Target, and now it's not around anymore.
Oh, yes. Somebody was somebody left a voicemail about a gray sweater with a ballerina on it the other day, and they were talking about you, and I was like, what are they talking about?
It's a sweater I've been looking for forever, and anytime someone sees it either on Poshmark or on Pinterest, it's like a size small, and it's a fitted sweatshirt, and my shoulders are broad.
Yes, you need a bigger
size. So there's
size.
No way that's going to work, but like, it's nice to know it's out there. It's out there somewhere.
I've been hearing about this website quite often recently, and I think you can get items on here for reasonable prices. It's called Live Auctioneers, and you can get all sorts of stuff on there. And I haven't like really dug into it and like made offers on anything, but when you go to the website, there's like all sorts of random stuff. It's really a true treasure hunting website.
Is that the one that our listener Robert reached out because he found on liveauctioneers.com a fully articulated human skeleton that had been wired for electricity?
That's right.
And thank you, Robert, by the way, for thinking of me and sent us the link. And right now, it can be mine for a maximum bid right now of $2,400.
Holy shit. I mean, I have one person's trash is another person's treasure.
Dude, this is amazing. I think it is a actually human.
Oh, God. I mean,
I'm not sure.
Cool.
late 19th, early 20th century, complete female skeleton with sternum and cartilage, accompanied by a painted coffin and stand, the skull with wiring for a light, from the estate of an important medical doctor in New York.
Doctor.
I really want it.
Bethany, if it's going to make you happy, just do it.
No, it's, you know what's going to make me more happy is having that $2,400.
Yeah, that is, if it were $500, I would say just, like, I'll help you pay for it. But $2,400 is an extraordinary amount of money for a skeleton that's hooked up to electricity.
It also worries me a little bit that it's a female skeleton because it's so old. I'm like, how did she die?
Yeah.
Did something bad happen to her?
I know.
Like, I worry about her.
The other day we were talking about pedal pushers. I can't remember. We were talking about this off air.
Yeah, it was
off
air.
Did we ever get to the bottom of it? Like, what are pedal pushers?
Okay, you were looking at some pants and you were like, oh, they styled the model with high heels and pedal pushers.
That's right.
And they were like, that doesn't happen anymore. And I said, aren't pedal pushers loafers? So how could she be wearing loafers and high heels?
No, pedal pushers are pants. They're so like pants that, so if you're walking through water, your pants don't get wet.
Oh, how does that make any sense? What is the word, how does the term pedal pusher apply to that?
I just hate pedal pushers with high heels. It makes me nauseous.
Is that, but I see women wearing like a cropped jean with high heels that's the same height. What's the difference?
I think cropped jeans are like ankle length and pedal pushers hit you right in the middle of the calf.
But I've seen women wearing jeans that hit the middle of the calf and high heels. Ugh,
I don't know.
Why is that a bad look? It elongates the leg. I think it makes it look good because that's a tough length. Cutting yourself right off at the calves.
I know that.
That's
a
weird length.
When you're short, I mean, I guess if you're tall, that's fine. I had pedal pushers, or they were like a mix between pedal pushers and gauchos. They were denim. They're from Hollister. The summer I met Neil, I lived in those babies.
I feel like, okay, here's again, and I believe you because you're more stylish than I am. I don't understand, like, I would think if you're short, it would behoove you to wear heels with pedal pushers more because it elongates the leg.
Here's the thing. I think it has
a silhouette.
I'm on frame-store.com, which looks like a high-end website. They're selling these white pedal pushers. It says the model is 5'4" tall. I mean, 5'10", sorry, 5'10". She's wearing it with like a chunky open-toed sandal. I think the look that I don't like, and I don't know why, is pumps with pedal pushers. I don't know why.
Can you dig into that a little bit? What do you think it is?
It's like a visceral reaction. I don't want to see your pointy toe pumps with pedal pushers. I just don't.
Is it not stylish, or does it just look annoying to you?
It just, it doesn't, it looks like somebody who doesn't quite know how to put together an outfit, at least to me.
Kathleen, this is what scares the living hell out of me.
What?
Because I don't think I know how to put together an outfit anymore.
That's not true,
because,
Bethany.
No, I think my instincts are very wrong. And I worry. It's like Helena Bonham Carter once did an interview, because she's always on the worst dress list.
She is.
She's like, she said once, the outfit never comes across the way it is in my mind.
Oh.
The way I wanted it to be in my mind.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel, where I'm like, I think I'm doing the right thing. And then I find out that A, pedal pushers are a pant and not a shoe.
Yeah.
And B, you certainly can't wear heels with them. And I'm like, well, left is right and right is left, and I don't know what to do.
Wait, I think we've all been in that situation where the outfit looks so amazing in your head, and then you actually put it on and you go to work and you're like, oh fuck.
It's I just feel unmoored.
Yeah.
And just now I'm just vastly insecure about anything I do. You know, and I'm like, I don't know where to go to figure out what to wear, because maybe all of my instincts, you know, are upside down.
I heard an interesting statistic that Americans have been spending something like 27% more on clothing than they were even before than the summer of 2019. Like, that is before the pandemic. And I think it's because, at least in America, we're making a shift. I think we're making a shift to more functional pieces, more comfortable pieces. I think people are selling anything that's uncomfortable. They're getting rid of it, and they're buying pieces that are more functional. So I think the way that we used to think about fashion is totally different. You know, oh, what's that word for someone who's trying too hard? Gouchy, coochy, choogy, choogy.
Choogy, choogy.
I think that the way that people are expressing themselves now is just like, whatever floats your boat, whatever is comfortable, whatever you feel confident in, and anybody who tries too hard is choogy.
And what's the difference between not being choogy and having given up?
Yeah.
Because I think that there's some intersection in that Venn diagram, and I think I'm at the point of having given up.
Bethany. I am right behind you, baby girl.
No, you're the one who knows that you can't wear heels with pedal pushers.
Bethany, only because it hurts my brain, not because I know for a fact that it's not fashionable anymore.
And by the way, do we even say pedal pushers anymore, or is there a different term for it?
Ankle pants, but pedal pushers.
Because pedal pushers feels like an old timey term. My landlord, who just turned 80.
Yeah.
Saw me in the hallway yesterday. I was wearing my big glasses, my big sunglasses. And he goes, oh, someone's wearing her driving glasses. And I'm like, what? Like, I don't know what driving glasses are, but they feel like from the same era as pedal pushers. Okay.
Driving glasses. It's like driving gloves. Like, what?
Yes.
Or driving moccasins. I remember my dad being very upset with me when I started learning to drive. I was driving in flip-flops. He's like, you're going to crash. Put on a more stable shoe. Okay. There is an Instagram account called Choug Life. C-H-E-U-G Life. And it's a list of all things that are choogy. Apparently, lasagna is choogy.
Yes, I did know that.
People who like Baby Yoda, that's choogy.
Yeah.
Giveaways are choogy.
Like on Instagram?
Yes, giveaways are choogy, sure. On Instagram. Perfume that comes in an ornate bottle, a la Viva La Juicy, that's very choogy. Being obsessed with Minions, that's very choogy. Mugs that say Girl Boss, that's choogy.
Girl Boss is very choogy and very over, because guess what? you're not a girl, you're a woman. And also, just be a boss. You don't call it a lady police officer. You call it a police officer.
Oh, Alex and Ani is choogy. Oh.
Yeah, it really is. I sold some Alex and Ani on Poshmark.
Cake pops are choogy.
Yeah.
Beach hats, big sun hats that have messages on it like out of office or see you later.
Selling one of those on Poshmark.
I have one too, Bethany. And I was like, should I sell it? Should I not sell it? But now that I know it's choogy, I got to get rid of it. Drinking Smirnoff is choogy. Oh, denim pedal pushers, choogy.
Does it say pedal pusher?
It says, single cuffed, ultra washed denim capris pair perfectly with a choogy pair of black strappy heels.
Okay, so they called it capris.
Capris and pedal pushers are the same thing.
Okay, that's where I've been so confused.
Yeah.
So capris are the same as pedal pushers?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. The Gucci belt.
Yeah, the Gucci belt is rough.
It's choogy.
Extravagantly expensive labels is choogy, apparently.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying there's a shift in fashion in this country, and it's less about following the rules and more about just doing your thing.
Well, my thing is panicking and then giving up. Again, this is why I went back to wearing all black, because it makes sense to me. It's easy. It's my version of Steve Jobs just wearing the same jeans and turtleneck every day because he doesn't have to think about it. And like, my jeans will now just have to either hit the floor or the top of my thigh, because any other level I'm confused about and I don't know what shoes to wear with
No pedal pushers, no capris, Bethany, please.
Can we start using the word capris? I feel like pedal pushers is a very dated term. Okay. And you know I love a dated term, but I'm confused.
It's making you feel uncomfortable. I get it. Okay.
Wait, this is a quick Google. Yeah. The first autofill. What are pedal pushers called today? So here, true pedal pushers, according to Vogue, hit slightly higher than your classic capris.
Yes.
So they hit just below the kneecap.
Oh.
And then capris are mid-calf.
Oh.
But they're essentially the same thing.
Yeah. Just no capris. No pedal pushers. No gauchos.
Oh, man. Can you please make us a list of rules so I know what I'm doing?
Bethany, that's the whole thing. The rule is that there are no more rules.
But you're setting rules. You literally just said no more capris, no more pedal pushers.
Oh, I guess you're right.